If you ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy, don't worry. I am right there with you, which is why I'm so excited to introduce you all to Sunbasket. Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning, no more stressing about nutrition, and no more grocery shopping, which was a big plus for me. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious, with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week with options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free, all featuring organic fresh produce, which is super important to us. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock in one type of meal. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for each and every week. They even have a pre-made meal option as well that are just as tasty and ready in 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you have to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. And I'm so thrilled to share a special offer for our lovely listeners. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast. If someone is coming on so strong, so fast, and is kind of taking any relationship from 0 to 60, where you're just meeting and then your best friends, family, getting married, thinking about your future together, X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. I really hate to say it, but it's a red flag. Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It's me, Michelle, and I am sitting here with my mom, Barb, and we're so excited to be back again for another episode, chatting with you all about life and its most interesting and complicated and beautiful topics. Hello, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
I am so thrilled to be concluding for now this little mini series on manipulation. We've done two other episodes highlighting, you know, overall manipulation, gaslighting, tactics, and tricks that we've experienced. And we have one more today and some conclusions to go along with it to kind of tie this up in a bow for now, because it's been a really great series. And I feel like we've healed a lot ourselves talking about it and sharing, because as you all know, listening to the show, and I think everyone in life has these experiences of manipulation, and it can be really helpful and therapeutic to just speak it out and share and feel like we're not alone in our experiences. So thank you all for listening and letting us have the space to do so. And we're excited to share this last piece for now on a aspect of manipulation that I think really, really has impacted us. It's impacted me, and I've been really thinking about it a lot lately as far as how it's impacted my life. And it's just so sneaky and it's complicated. So I'm super excited to talk about it and dive into it and see what comes up for both of us.
I agree, Michelle. And I think it's first, I also too want to thank all of you for all of your comments and all of your messages about manipulation, because it's kind of tricky, and sometimes it's sneaky, and sometimes we don't recognize that we're in the middle of it. And I know we talked about this, I think, in the first episode of manipulation. We can sometimes be manipulators ourselves and not actually recognize it. So it's a very potent, prominent part of relationships. And for me, you're right, Michelle, this has been a real healing for me and for you, And I think for all of us, because we all have been manipulated before, and we all have participated in some way in a manipulation. Right. So it's very interesting. And I think it's pervasive in relationships. So I'm very excited to talk about this last one.
Yeah.
And we'll share some experiences with this because it's kind of, I don't even know. I didn't actually even hear of it until you were talking about it a while ago. I think it was about a year ago we started talking about this. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's happened to me.
Yeah. Love bombing.
Love bombing. Yeah. Well, I was waiting for you to say it, but love bombing, like, what is that? And it was so interesting when you were sharing it with me over a year ago, I guess now, maybe longer ago when you were sharing with me and you looked at me and you said, Mom, it's someone who's overly charming.
Well,
and we think of charming as being a positive. Like we want someone maybe who's charming, but we'll talk today about how that can be a manipulation technique.
Yeah. And I think there's multitudes to this, just like with everything else that we've talked about in the manipulation game. But love bombing, I feel, has become a buzzword, especially in romantic relationships, but I think in any relationship, because I mean, I hate to say such a blanket statement, but I think when we all go out to seek partnership or companionship or friendship or relationship, we want to feel loved and seen and heard and understood and supported. And so when we find people who maybe give us that serotonin boost or tick those boxes, we're like, oh, this is a good thing. Feeling loved is a good thing. And it's just so unfortunate that life isn't black and white. There is the gray. And so sometimes with the things that we have thought to be good can come from ill intent, can be a manipulation where maybe they don't mean those things that they say or the actions that they're portraying that are seeming to be loving are actually not. They're to manipulate or they're to get what they want or they're to just play a role or play a part or play a game. And it's really tough and it's really heartbreaking when you experience that. And when you go through that, because all manipulation is hard. Every tactic, every technique, every pattern is challenging. But I think this aspect of love bombing, at least for me personally, is one that I find really challenging to move through because I find myself to be in tune with my emotions. I guess I would label myself as an empath. And so if I feel like someone is offering me love or sharing care towards me, I'm inclined to believe them. It's almost as if, and I'm learning, but it's almost as if I don't necessarily think twice. I don't second guess it. And so then I've been burned so many times by that. And it's painful. And it's really hard and it really chips away at your ability to trust and to be open. And it happens a lot.
It does. And it doesn't make any sense. I think that's what it really showed me when I was in a relationship like this. And so let's go to it. Love bombing is, I believe the definition of it, it is a manipulation technique. And it's when someone overwhelms you with compliments, with gifts or attention at the very beginning of a relationship. And so that's for me why it's so tricky and so sneaky. We want that. When we're just starting a relationship and let's say we have feelings for the person or we've got these butterflies in our stomach or we're feeling just like the very beginning feelings of liking this person and maybe this could be a person that I have a relationship with, we all go through some of these feelings. So we want, I think we think it's a good thing to have all of the attention and the compliments and the gifts and when it's early on in a relationship and, you know, where the person may be texting us a lot or wanting to spend time with us or doing all the things that we're like, oh my gosh, this is really amazing. This is what I'm feeling too, or this is what I want to happen too. I can tell you just can't wait to, you can't wait to chime in here.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt.
It's okay.
But I will say two things. I think for anyone who has been on a journey in life where you feel like it might be hard for you to meet your people or find your people or find the right people who love you and accept you and understand you, I think we're more susceptible to love bombing because We get so excited when we think we've actually found a good one. And like I said before, sometimes our discernment can go out the window and we're just like, oh my gosh, yes, this is what I've been looking for. This person is saying all the right things, doing all the right things. It's great. And on the other point that I wanted to make is it's actually interesting to talk about this because you and I have had a lot of conversations lately, kind of regarding love bombing to a degree, especially in professional settings. And what I mean is, and what the lesson that we've learned is, when you meet someone and like literally just meeting them for the first time, and it happens too soon where you feel like things are moving too fast and they're saying all the right things, and then you open up too quickly, or you trust too quickly, or you bring down some of your barriers or your guards or your boundaries, and then you get burned. I think we had a situation a few years ago, and I remember you had a friend that said, why were you so quick to be so trusting of this person? You didn't know them.
And you've known them for only a hot minute.
Yeah.
Is the exact
that
quote
person
that
was
she
saying
said.
These things to you, and they had no basis to do so. They didn't know you. They said that they really cared about you, but why? They didn't know you. And that was a hard pill for me to swallow, again, because I like to believe in the goodness of people. And in that particular situation, I really liked that person. And I was like, what do you mean that person might have been manipulating us or trying to get something that that person wanted? And it's happened a few times in a lot of different arenas in our lives since then. And I keep hearing your friend and you always say, remember when our friend said, if someone is coming on so strong, so fast, and is kind of taking any relationship from 0 to 60, where you're just meeting and then your best friends, family, getting married, thinking about your future together, X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. I really hate to say it, but it's a red flag. It's hard for me to say it because I'd love for it to be like that, you know, love at first sight kind of vibe for whatever the situation may be. But unfortunately, most times, always there's exceptions to rules. It really is a red flag that something isn't on the up and up.
Well, and I think I'm glad you opened this up, that what we're talking about when we talk about manipulation and love bombing and gaslighting and all that, it's not just in romantic relationships. I want to share some experiences now in a romantic relationship, but it's not just that. You're right. It's work. It's friendships. It's everywhere. And it's this whole third part of our series of manipulation, this last tactic, love bombing, I think is one of the most insidious ones, because you're right. We want to have friendships. We want to have love interests. We want to have all the things. And you know, all the storybooks tell us that we deserve it and we just have to go out there and get it. Yeah. So I think that idea of going out there and get it. So I think it's what you were saying, Michelle. And I think just being mindful that if things are going too fast, just take a pause, because if they're feeling like they're going too fast, slowing down won't harm it. It doesn't mean stop it. It doesn't mean end it because it feels, you know, too uncomfortable. Well, if it does feel uncomfortable, obviously, but it just means like take a little breath and slow down a little bit, because the idea that we can bond really fast, I think creates that infatuation that might not be so real from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we just have to be careful and look at that. I love Brené Brown's take on this. Mm. You know, never share your deepest and most important secrets or truths or practices, or even your heart, even being so bare with your heart, until the person has earned your trust.
It's
now,
so
I'm
big.
Paraphrasing her, but I'll never
we'll put
forget
it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll never forget when I read that and when I heard her say it. And it's so true, because it takes time for feelings and relationships, I believe, to grow and to become. So it takes time. And so I think the example, the personal example that I would want to share is that this holds true. And we were talking about love bombing well over a year ago, and charm, as I was in a relationship, a romantic relationship, that was kind of this way, pretty much this way. Mm-hmm. You know, the person was very assertive and very attentive and used to say to people when we would go out on dates together, this is the person that I'm going to marry. I knew the moment that I met her that I was going to marry her or, you know, constantly showering with attention or showering with gifts or just really making me feel important and feel like this relationship was important and that he loved me.
And so overly confident in himself so that it almost forces you to be confident in it because if he's so assured in it, why wouldn't you be?
Exactly. And as you were saying earlier, you know, we want love. We want to feel like someone cares about us. We want to feel like we're in love until you're first starting a relationship. And I think just imagine that now fast forward this, I don't even think maybe a year into the relationship, we were at a show, we were at a play, and I stuck my hand out to hold his hand and he wouldn't hold my hand. He kept pulling it away. I'm like, we're in the middle of a show with friends. And I'm thinking, what the heck's going on? I'm thinking to myself, what is happening? What is happening? And I'd stick my hand out and he would pull it away. And then he got really like aggressive about it, pulled it away and gave me a look. Well, so the entire show, I'm sitting there thinking, what is going on? What is happening here? What is happening here? So when the show was over and we were driving home, I go, what is that all about? And he said, I just didn't feel like holding your hand. Can't you just accept that? And I said, and I'm thinking, what? And he said, it's a problem if I don't want to hold your hand and you don't like it. So you can see how the manipulator starts off being so kind and so loving and compliments and, oh my gosh, I was going to marry her the first day I met her and all of the things. And then later, this is what the manipulation tactic is. The charm later withholds the attention whenever they feel like it or withholds the compliment.
Right.
Whenever it suits them or whenever they feel like they need to have the upper hand or they need to be, you know, in charge. And so what happened for me is I always left feeling like I'd done something wrong, that I was the problem. Well, yeah, if I can just not, if I don't want to hold your hand, I don't have to. Well, of course we all know you don't have to.
Right.
But that's a really crazy thing when you're in a loving, romantic relationship.
And yeah, you can do it in a different way.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not, it's a huge red flag, but I didn't see it as that. I interpreted it as, okay, Barb, I took it for face value of what he said. If I don't want to hold your hand, it has to be okay. But then it doesn't stop at that.
Right.
You can see that it just continues in different ways and different forms. And the end result of that is you feel like you're always doing something wrong and that you can't please them. So if you are a people pleaser, which I was, it just magnifies that even more.
Yeah.
Then you try your hardest and it becomes the thing that you do in a relationship and trying to please the other person. And as we have found out, Michelle, in all of the relationships and all the work and all of the podcasts we've been on, especially all the things we've talked about, is you cannot please another person. Yeah. I mean, you can do something for them and they can be happy and thankful and all that, but you cannot be the person that delivers happiness and pleasure to another person 24/7. And that's what happens, I think, in these love bombing, charming, super speeded up, fast relationships like this, is you become the person that thinks you are the problem. Mm-hmm. And then they've got you. Yeah. Then whenever there's an argument or whenever there's a disagreement or whenever there's something that's not going right, you're the problem.
Yeah.
It was just fine. If you just learn, you know, I love you. I care about you. You know, I wanted to marry you when I first met you, but you can't let me be myself. You can't do this or you can't do that. And I'm hoping that all of you relate to this in some fashion because it's very tricky. I use that word a lot. It's very hard to see. You don't see it sometimes until after the fact.
Well, yeah, of course, because it's so beneath the surface because outwardly, as you were saying, you were being given all of this praise and love and affection and kindness and care and in public and in front of people and these grand gestures of commitment. And I think that's why it's so abusive and harmful because they can take it away at any moment. They can stop the behavior at any moment and they can make the rules and be in control of who and why gets the love and attention and when and why they don't. And I think that's why so many of us who have been love bombed or have been under this particular type of manipulation can feel like we're running on a hamster wheel, trying to figure out, like you said, what you did wrong, why you were the problem. How can I go back to the situation from the beginning when everything was good? What was I doing there? Like overanalyzing all of your behaviors, overanalyzing the smallest actions, thoughts, anything to try and, you know, mine out what you could do differently, what you could do to go back. And the truth is you can't find anything because it's not your fault. But that's why this type of manipulation is so insidious, because it makes you think, like you said, that you're the problem, that you're the one that's done something wrong, and that if you could just get it together, everything would be fine. If you could, why would you ever try and hold this person's hand in the middle of a show? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
If you knew better, we would never have that fight. If you didn't do this, we would never be in a disagreement. And it's just, well, I don't like it, man.
No, I think, you know, the greatest thing about it is we then get caught up and we can't see the forest for the trees, so to speak. We can't see with clarity. We can't see with, you know, the ability to be able to understand what's happening. So we spend our lives, we spend our time trying to figure out how to fix it. What did I do wrong? Or if I'm feeling like maybe I didn't do anything wrong, but it's just not working, how do I fix it? What can I do right? What can I do more right? How can I make him more happy or her more happy? Or my partner, whoever it is, whoever we're with. And this goes with friendships as well. This goes with coworkers as well. This goes with bosses as well. Whatever it is, whenever you're looking at a relationship, these kinds of tactics and this kind of manipulation happens. And so I think, as a conclusion, maybe, Michelle, or as we go through this, this is, as we said, this was the third topic that we wanted to highlight. As a conclusion, I think it would be a really good idea, because I've been thinking about this a lot and I know we've talked about it. You know, what is, because sometimes we have to be in relationships with manipulators. Sometimes we may not be able to get out right away. Now, right. Of course, if we're being abused or mistreated in any way, always call 911 and get out if you can, because you don't deserve to have that happening. Obviously, we're always thinking in that regard that it's never that extreme where it's very problematic and really very life-threatening for you. But there are some times when we have to be in relationships with parents or with family or with friends or with coworkers sometimes that we have to try to endure it, I guess, or try to manage it, not endure it, even manage it. And so this is my favorite number one tip, but I see you want to hold off for just a second.
Okay. Before we get into like the dealing with the manipulators, I just wanted to touch on one more topic of the love bombing. And an aspect that kind of recently came into my sphere or my thoughts about manipulation, and one that I was talking about at the beginning of the episode that really has thrown me recently. And it is that aspect and that concept of charming people. And I think the love bombers can be charming, but I think that the charming aspect of a manipulator can also stand on its own, because I think the most manipulative person in our lives is considered incredibly charming and very outwardly beloved for their charisma. And I never, it's taken me up until this year to really grasp the harm or the blindfold that the charm can actually put over you and make you really question and second guess everything else. And as I was kind of learning this for myself and digesting and processing and unpacking it all, and then looking for other examples of people who are charming and then who are also manipulative, it is something to look for if you're someone who's really trying to identify the manipulators in your life, because especially people who have power, who have high stature, who, you know, are in positions of control, look to see if they're charming, because Sometimes abusive people can be extremely charming and well-liked in the public. And I know that we've seen so many examples of this in the news and in, you know, in life with big people in high places that have been taken down. And, you know, you read the stories about them. Oh my gosh, but they were so great to me. They were so charming. They were so philanthropic. They really cared about people. I'm just so shocked to learn this. And it's been so hard for me to separate the two parts of a person. You can have these acts that can be perceived as good and kind and caring and supportive, and at the same time, have them be abusive and manipulative and self-serving. And for the longest time, I let the good outshine the bad because I just thought in my mind, well, look at all this good this person does. Look at how all these people love this person and have only nice things to say about this person and talk so extensively about the impact that this person has for the good. So, you know, if for the good of all, I have to suck it up because I, like you said, I must be the problem. And it's just, you don't have to suck it up if that's something that you relate to. And it's likely that if you're experiencing that with someone, other people are experiencing it too. And so I've started to learn that instead of, this is how I've been building my discernment muscle with this, instead of automatically assuming or associating charm with goodness or with kind-heartedness, I have been trying to pay attention to how those people treat me when I set a boundary or when I don't do what they want or when I speak up for myself. And it's been a huge lesson for me because just like with love bombing, it's really hard to process when you're seeing or hearing something and the impact is the opposite. It's like your mind or your body or your spirit, it's hard to compute these things that don't seem to match up, and it makes you feel really confused, or it's made me feel really confused. And so I just wanted to add that aspect into the mix of manipulation of charm. And if anyone out there listening relates to this, just look out for it. Just have it be something in your back pocket because it's been painful for me to realize this about people, but it's also been super helpful because it's just like one more thing that I have on guard to look for to keep myself from falling quickly into those holes of manipulation.
I'm so happy that you shared that. I think it was very important to share that because it's really a part of the love bombing and all of the things we've talked about in the past couple episodes. And it's very sneaky, again, using that word, because we like charming people.
Prince Charming.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's so charming.
Yeah, the word charm is very elevated.
Oh, she's so charming. Mm-hmm. And it's, when you even, I love a fairy tale Disney show, but when you think about what we were taught as young people of like things to look for, charming, you think of like the princes in those shows, like they were charming because they were trying to get what they wanted. And it's just wild to kind of think back on it all.
Yeah, I think it's so confusing with charming and love and caring and kindness and loving kindness. It all just kind of sometimes weaves together. So we have to be mindful. And I think for me, what I've learned the most, which it feels like a 40-year learning, is that I must always honor what I'm feeling in the moment. And so in the moment, like you were saying, Michelle, in the moment, if I'm feeling confused, I'm feeling like, what the heck's going on right now? Do I want to hold my hand? Yesterday, you just told me I was the love of your life.
Yeah.
All I want to do is hold your hand. Do I not have a right, you know, to just want to hold your hand and appreciate and show the love as well? So it's very interesting to really kind of always stay in touch with and be mindful of what am I feeling in this moment? And what I'm feeling in this moment is not crazy.
Right.
My feelings are not facts. My feelings aren't crazy. My feelings are what I'm feeling in this moment.
And for anyone who might be thinking, because this is how my brain would go to in that situation with the hand holding. Well, yeah, he does have a right to not hold your hand. It's his body and he can set boundaries, but you can do it in a nice way.
What he could have done is said, right. Hey, you know what? I'm not feeling really comfortable right now.
Or you could just like, you know, pat your hand and say, we can hold him. You know, like it's the way, it's not the action. It's the way he did it.
Well, I think it's the way, but also I think it's the action. It's like, give the person something that why you don't want to in that moment. So they're
right.
So they're not left hanging. Like, what did I do? What happened? And then afterwards in having the conversation about it, own it. So I'm really sorry that I acted that way. I just wasn't feeling myself. Instead of, I have the right to not hold your hand if I don't want to. So it's very, but it's so important that we stay mindful and present in the moment with how we're feeling.
Right.
And you're right. It depends on how they're acting. It depends on their demeanor. And it also depends on, are they willing to own that, hey, I just offended you here.
Right.
I just was being very critical and I was being very unkind. And I own that. And I just wasn't feeling myself. I'm sorry. So I think it's really a good idea to talk about if you think you're being manipulated by someone, because sometimes we have to be in relationships with people that are manipulative. As I was going,
sorry.
No. It was important what you said. No, don't be sorry. It was very important. So I think here are some of the things that Michelle and I have talked about so much in our relationships, and especially the familial relationships that we've been through in the past few years. So if you think you're being manipulated by someone in your life, here are a few tips or here are a few things for you to look out for, or things for you to just take a pause and say, wait a minute, you know, step back and assess the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the facts? What's happening here? What am I feeling? Is this not feeling okay for me?
Right. Because I think the number one thing a manipulator is trying to do is to confuse you and to make you question yourself, your judgment, your memory. And this is another great case for journaling. If you're feeling like you're in a manipulative situation where you're feeling confused or unclear, start to journal, you know, recount a situation or recount what happened or what was said, because a manipulator will do a great job of making you feel like you're not remembering something correctly. I never said that. That didn't happen. What are you talking about? You must be crazy. And even if you're recounting this for yourself in a journal, like that could still happen. But I think these are all tools to help you fortify yourself. And if you can have something or someone tell someone what happened that can help remind you of a situation or of the facts, you can read it in a journal. You can write it down in your notes app, whatever it might be. At least it'll help build you up instead of just immediately falling to, wow, they're right. I must be remembering wrong.
And that's perfectly said, Michelle, having some way to document it for yourself in journaling or in the notes of the app on the phone. And here are some of the questions you can ask yourself by taking a step back and assessing the situation. What are the facts? What actually happened? And what is happening? And try to take the feelings out of it for a moment and focus on the facts instead of your beliefs or opinions in that moment. Like, what just happened? And then trusting your gut, then bringing in the feeling, what just happened was I wanted to go to a movie, let's say, or whatever it was, and the person just ridiculed me or whatever the situation was. If we're going to use the personal example, you know, of holding the hand, I just wanted to hold the person's hand because I was feeling loving and caring. What just happened? I got rejected. And then just really looking at, well, what were the feelings behind that and how did it play out and what happened? And then trusting your gut. Wait a minute. I didn't do anything wrong here. Because as you said, Michelle, a manipulator wants to, they really want the control. They want to have the power. They want to be the one who's in charge of things. They want to be the one who directs things. And so you really have to, in your journaling or in your note-taking or in your assessment of what's going on in the relationship, you really have to look at your gut and ask yourself, what is your intuition telling you about this person? And most importantly for me, it's been the treatment of me by mm-hmm. them. I sometimes think we bypass that treatment and we just think, oh, it's okay. They're just having a bad day. Or, oh, it's okay. I actually did do something wrong. And it's not your fault if you're being manipulated. It really isn't. But once you realize it, it's really important to start saying, wait a minute, there are things that I need to do here because this isn't okay. It's bringing me down. I'm losing my self-confidence. I'm losing my ability to be able to stay focused in the day and the things that matter most to me.
Well, I think if you are questioning if you're being manipulated by someone or in a manipulative relationship and questioning whether or not you can have that person in your life, I think certainly sit with yourself to figure out if you actually do have to have that person in your life. Because if we're talking about a romantic relationship, maybe you're starting to date someone new and this comes up, at least for me, in, you know, all of my years, I would say that that would be a deal breaker. Like, that's not something that it's worth me investing my time to try and quote unquote fix this person of their manipulative behaviors. You know what I mean? Like, if you are dating someone and it's a couple months in and things are great, but you're starting to notice these patterns or traits or love bombing or gaslighting or whatever it might be, that would be a sign for me that this is not a relationship that I want to continue with. And to move on and to not spend my precious time and energy agonizing over this because this person is not going to change and it's not my job to change them. And I deserve and I'm worthy of having someone in my life that doesn't treat me this way. Like you said, how are they treating you? I think it's a little bit more complicated when it comes to family or people that have been in our lives for a longer period of time, or that it's not so easy to just cut them out. However, you know, only you can make that call of who gets to stay in your life. As we've talked about on the show, we've cut out family, and it's hard. But sometimes it's necessary. And I think when you're starting to look at manipulation with people who you've had in your life for a long period of time, that it's not so easy to just cut out, like breaking up with them after a few weeks of a relationship, that's really where you can start to go through this process of really reminding yourself what's true, how are you feeling, and what boundaries do I need to set with this person to feel okay, to maintain my own sense of peace, and so that I'm not being harmed more and more and more when I'm with this person. And that's really where a lot of the inner power and strength can come from. If you do have manipulators in your life that you can't necessarily get rid of right away.
I am all about finding new tips, tools, practices, data to help me live my healthiest life, which is why I'm so excited to have found Lumen. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs and gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workouts, sleep, and even stress management. All you have to do is breathe into your Lumen first thing in the morning and you'll know what's going on with your metabolism, whether you're burning mostly fats or carbs. And then Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for that day based on your measurements. Your metabolism is your body's engine. It's how your body turns the food you eat into the fuel that keeps you going. Because your metabolism is at the center of everything your body does, optimal metabolic health translates to a bunch of benefits, including easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, better sleep, and so much more. Lumen gives you recommendations to improve your metabolic health. It can also track your cycle as well as the onset of menopause, and adjust your recommendations to keep your metabolism healthy through hormonal shifts so you can keep up your energy and stave off cravings. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me/barbknowsbest to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/barbknowsbest for 15% off your purchase. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
If you've listened to the show, you've heard my mom and I talk about how much therapy has impacted both of our lives. We've basically been in therapy for our entire lives. But we also know how difficult it can be and feel to actually get therapy into our lives, whether it's a busy schedule or not knowing where to go or who to trust or just the financial component and commitment therapy actually is. We know it's challenging just to get started. But we also want to reiterate how beneficial therapy can be, whether working through our issues or really understanding who we are and what we want in life. As I've said, therapy is a game changer. And so if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Never skip a therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barbknowsbest. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. So coming back to the steps of dealing with manipulation and how to deal with someone in your life who is manipulative, like my mom was saying, as always, the first step is to cultivate awareness and to really start to notice how people in your life are making you feel. And then going through that process that we talked about of recounting what's true, really getting in touch with your feelings, really getting in touch with your non-negotiables and what boundaries you need to set. And lastly, I think this is a really interesting aspect of manipulation and dealing with manipulation. And what's so funny is that it was used recently on one of my favorite shows, Vanderpump Rules, but it's the Grey Rock method. And you've talked about the Grey Rock method, Mom, in the past. And Ariana on the show was talking about how she used the Grey Rock method in her relationship that she was healing from a relationship with a manipulative person. And so the Grey Rock method is being and acting boring or not responding to a situation or a person, just like a Grey Rock. And it's all about not being reactionary, not being triggered or trying not to be triggered, and just staying as calm and cool and chill and unbothered like a Grey Rock. And Mom, I know that you've had situations where you've used this tactic that's been really helpful. But I think lastly, if nothing else, if you can't get rid of a manipulator in your life, all of the things that we've talked about, I think that there's nothing that a manipulator hates more than not being able to get to you. They want to get a rise out of you. They want to be
in control or have that power or see you squirm. And so the concept of this gray rock method, it ticks so many boxes in dealing with manipulators.
And I didn't even know that it had a name, gray rock method, because
It might be a new term.
It could be. I've always used a form of this idea of, you know, shifting the attention or changing the subject or becoming slightly emotionally disengaged from all of the drama and just kind of looking at life and being able to be there in the moment and saying, oh, well, so did you realize that there's going to be a storm tomorrow? What do you think we need to do with our outside patio furniture?
Yeah, unbothered.
You know, like really being, keeping replies short, you know, kind of being non-committal and what, and just avoid discussing anything personal.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. This is a very, very, very hard thing to do if you're in a relationship with a manipulator. But it's really the only way to start to break down that feeling that you're being the cycle of it. But first of all, that you're feeling like, you know, that you're the problem and there's always this thing that you're going to say something that's not going to be the right thing, or you're not going to be able to have a conversation about it because you're the one that's always wrong and they use information against you later. And oh my gosh, I've said too much. And it's hard to actually admit that you live with a manipulator or that you're being manipulated. There's a lot of psyche there where it feels like you're a failure. Yeah. I know for me, or it feels like, well, what did I do wrong? How did I get caught up in this mess? And it's really hard to feel like you are being manipulated. And it takes an emotional toll.
Yeah.
I know for me, it takes a huge emotional toll. So it's for me, it's been very, very, very important to understand that I'm not the problem.
Yeah.
That I'm not at fault.
Yep.
And that if it's a relationship that I have to have and that I can't get out of, then I look for ways to stay disengaged. But also stay very supportive and loving of myself.
Yeah.
Understanding that this is something that I need to do so that I keep my own sense of power about myself, my own sense of care and love and self-worth with myself. And I think eventually what I've seen happen, especially in family members, I've had a few family members in this regard, that if they're not getting the attention or they're not getting the fight, or they're not getting all of the things that they want, it kind of starts to mellow out a little bit, or mellow might be the wrong word. It kind of starts even to slow out. Down or even out a little bit, where there isn't that push-pull situation. And of course, it does feel like, though, there's a detachment happening in the relationship. So it's really, to use the word that I've used this whole episode, tricky.
Yeah. Well, I think with the gray rock and with just dealing with manipulation, if you can just stay neutral, I feel like the manipulator will start to look for someone else because they know that they can't get what they're looking for out of you. You know, those high highs, those low lows, that instability, the imbalance and all of that. And like you said, then you start to become a little bit detached and can have that space to then make some decisions. But it is tricky, like you've been saying. And of course, the last thing that we wanted to say on this topic is, please, you don't have to suffer in silence if you're being manipulated or abused emotionally in this way. We can put some resources in the show notes for people that you can reach out to seek support or to talk to someone, or, you know, you can reach out to us and we can, you know, give any other resources, but know that you're not alone and that you're worthy of help and kindness and care, and you're worthy to not be treated that way.
You're always worthy.
Yeah. It's not your fault. You're not the problem. And you don't deserve to be manipulated or emotionally abused ever.
Ever. Thank you, Michelle, for this conversation.
Thanks, Mom.
It's a tough one.
It is. But it was enjoyable to unpack it all with you. And I hope that it was helpful for our listeners. Thanks so much for listening. And let us know what you think about all of this. I'd be so curious to hear from you all, as always. We love to hear it. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, so you're always up to date on each new episode.
If you're loving the show, which of course we hope that you are, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and leave a review. It's really, really helpful for us in the show, and we appreciate it so, so much. Lastly, if you haven't yet, subscribe to our newsletter so that you stay up to date on all things me and Barb. We've got a lot of stuff in the works, and we're so excited to share it with you. If you have questions, comments, concerns, or want to give us podcast topic requests, follow us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's the best way to stay in touch. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom, for sharing with us like you always do. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.